humble will encounter Jesus. Just as a brief description, humble to my mind means not self-sufficient. It means realizing that you don't have what it takes and you cry out for mercy. Now, I'm going to give a quick story of my own lack of humility recently. I've got a Volkswagen and this little warning light came up and it annoyed me endlessly. I didn't know how to turn it off. I was too proud to look in the manual. I was too proud to go on Google. I just thought, oh, well, there must be a button somewhere, because in my other car there's a button. So I looked around for this button to try and switch off this annoying orange light. It'd been on for months. And I was getting quite grumpy and telling Karina how grumpy I was. Then I had this idea, well, why don't you pray, Simon? I thought, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. What can I do? And immediately I prayed. A little voice said, look in the glove box. So I opened the glove box and there was a button. Reset. And I know that's a silly story, but the point is, how long sometimes it takes for us to get humble? We think we can do it in our own strength, but we can't. In the life of Jesus, throughout Luke's gospel, there were people that got turned away from Jesus. It wasn't so much that Jesus turned them away, but they turned away themselves. There were people who, for example, were self-sufficient in being good. They thought, I can keep all the rules, don't need Jesus. There were people who thought, like the Pharisees, I am more righteous than the man next door. And there was the rich man that we also heard about last week. But it's not just those sorts of people that can suffer a lack of humility. The 12 disciples, they also weren't humble for quite a long time. And when Jesus spoke to them about the cross, when he spoke to them about, look, like in that little cartoon, you know, I'm going to die and rise again, they were like, huh? Because you see, when you're proud, you don't get it. You're blind, spiritually blind. Let me just read that little section there. This is before Bartimaeus. Because what I want you to know is that this little interaction with the disciples is there by Luke to say, look at these blind guys. They're blind, they're proud, they're blind, and they're proud, and they're blind. And then we go into a story of a real blind man who actually could see who Jesus was. So let's just look at these disciples who were actually spiritually blind at that time. It says this, Jesus took the 12 aside, this is Luke 18, verse 31. Jesus took the 12 aside and he told them, we are going up to Jerusalem, everything that's written by the prophets about the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles, that's the non-Jews. They will mock him, insult him, spit on him, flog him and kill him on the cross. And on the third day, he will rise again. This is Jesus telling the disciples, and it says this, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them. They did not know what he was talking about. And there is a truth that if you're proud and won't be humble, you won't get it. Doesn't matter how much you learn and read. You can read 25 books about the Bible, but if you're not humble, you won't see. And I'm just going to give a reminder today about humility. That's really, I think we all need to be reminded. You see, earlier in Luke, in chapter 10, verse 21, Jesus said this. He was praying to his Father. He said, Father, you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you know, the intellectually self-sufficient, and you've revealed them to little children. And what he means is the humble. You know, a child is not presuming. You know, they just come and receive humbly like a little child. God says, he says, Father's going to hide it from the proud, but reveal it to the childlike, the humble people. Now, this actually also comes way back in the rest of the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah. We read of it in chapter 6, where God actually judges the proud and makes them blind. It's a kind of judgment, spiritual blindness. You see, Isaiah said, or God was saying, this is what he was going to do, render the hearts of this people insensitive, Their ears dull, their eyes dim. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and return and be healed. And this is what the disciples were like at this point. They had been with Jesus for 3 years. They'd had the best education possible. They'd seen miracles. They'd been with him for 3 years, and they still didn't get it. Why? Because there was a pride. There was a kind of we can't accept that the Messiah is going to die on a cross. We don't like that idea. We think, you know, we want something better. And so what does God do in the Gospel of Luke? And what does Luke write about? Well, what actually happens next is these blind disciples who are spiritually blind get taken to meet a real blind man, a physically blind man, who actually sees more than they do. It's such a contrast on how to approach Jesus. This man, blind Bartimaeus, he had no access to the teachings of Jesus. He hadn't been with Jesus for 3 years. But he had the attitude of a humble child who knew he had need. And when Jesus passed by, he said, "Jesus, son of David!" I mean, what an insight! He saw who he was. He saw that Jesus was this king. The son of David, by the way, means a king, a God's king, God's anointed, promised king, the Messiah. He's saying, "Son of David." And he says, "Have mercy on me." That is a picture of how you approach Jesus and get into his kingdom. You see, a blind beggar, there he is, calling out. They had no choice but to beg. You know, when you were blind, you couldn't do anything but beg. You couldn't get a job. You were reliant on the charity of others. I mean, the Jewish people were quite well trained to give money to poor people, so you could probably make a bit of an existence. But it's the same old lousy existence, day after day, with the same old lousy begging bowl, and people thinking you're not important, you've got nothing to contribute, you're insignificant. In fact, the crowd believed he should shut up. When Jesus walked past, he started to cry out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowd said, "Shut up. He's not interested in you. You've got nothing to contribute. You've got nothing to offer." Exactly. You know, the way into God's kingdom is to say, "I haven't got it. I need mercy." And to see who's the one who gives it, which is Jesus Christ. This man couldn't see. Although he was blind physically, he actually could perceive that Jesus is the answer to my need. Come like a humble child. And the crowd told him to shut up. But you know, Jesus had time for him. I love this about Jesus. Look, I'll just read that to you. It says, no matter how busy a person is, if they really care, they will always find the time for you. Well, Jesus had time for this poor, helpless, marginalized beggar. And Jesus has time for you. In fact, the crowd, which was saying, "Shut up, he's not interested in you," were probably very embarrassed, because then Jesus called him, and it says in Mark's Gospel, they said to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." They must have been quite embarrassed. I mean, what a turnaround. This guy that was nothing, this insignificant nobody, Jesus was interested in and wanted to speak to. And you know, God often wants to speak to people that we think are not important. I've learned that. You might meet someone and you think, "Oh, well, they're not doing much." That's not how God thinks about them. What's our attitude to people who we might pass by in the street? Well, Jesus won't pass them by. Jesus has time for them. You know, Bartimaeus knew this about Jesus. He knew that the heart of Jesus is a wonderful heart, Jesus' heart. Jesus has a heart for the least, the last, and the left out. I had a friend in Exeter, and he was the least, the last, and the left out. He had no exams, not a single exam, but God called him. He became a preacher all around the world. And I remember when he was in a meeting once, the preacher was preaching, and he was like Bartimaeus, my friend. He was called Norman. He stood up halfway through the sermon, my friend Norman, very simple guy, and he said, "Lord, I don't understand a word the preacher's saying, but I believe it." He got saved and he became a preacher all around the world. I mean, it was amazing. Jesus has a heart for the least, the last, and the left out. And you have to remember this. Jesus was on his way to the cross, you see. Jesus was going to the cross to die, and he still had time for this beggar. When you're in pain, when you're suffering, do you have time for people? Jesus was going to die on the cross, but he still had time for this guy. And this is one big thing about being humble. What did Bartimaeus give to Jesus? Well, it's in that picture there. He brought nothing except his need. That's all that's needed to come into God's kingdom. The people in God's kingdom are the humble who say to the Lord, I'm not going to be self-sufficient. I bring just my need. I need mercy. I need you. Open my eyes. That's what is needed. Bartimaeus only brought his need. That's all he brought, and some confidence in Jesus. And in fact, Bartimaeus is very similar to the children that we read of in Luke 18. There are some children that come to Jesus. And you know the children, they had nothing to bring except themselves. Bartimaeus is very similar to a tax collector earlier in Luke, not Zacchaeus, but an earlier one, who in a temple, in chapter 18, verse 13, there was this guy, and he said this tax collector stood at a distance. He didn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That man got saved. Bartimaeus is the same as these people. And also, Bartimaeus is similar to the persistent widow earlier in Luke 18 as well. Because when the crowd tell him to shut up, he ignores it. He persists. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. And that's a great thing, to keep persisting, pursuing the Lord. Jesus then asks this very odd question. What do you want me to do for you? I mean, a bit obvious, isn't it? I'm blind. But do you know why Jesus did that? I think it was so that he would verbalize his need and he would verbalize his confidence in Jesus. He said, Lord, I want to see. He wanted to bring it out of Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus basically just called on the Lord in his need and in his confidence. And he fulfilled a verse in Joel chapter 2, verse 32. Which says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, that is a promise in Scripture. You come in your weakness, you find God's strength in Christ. You come in darkness, you discover his light. You come in poverty, you discover his riches. And if you come to Jesus humbly, you will be transformed. I promise you that. Because look what happened to this blind beggar. Bartimaeus encountered the love of Jesus. Yes, his eyes were healed, but he was transformed. You know, he didn't go like this to Jesus. He didn't say, well, thank you, Lord, for my eyesight. I'm now going to go back home and live a comfortable life in my house. He could live a normal life, get a normal job, enjoy his house, but he didn't do any of that. It says, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. He suddenly discovered something far better than all the other stuff he thought was important. Like last week, if you remember the preacher last week, he said, God wants to give you something far better than what you think is the best. Bartimaeus was transformed. He discovered the wonder of really knowing Jesus. And humble Bartimaeus realized too that opportunities don't come very often. It says there, opportunity may only come once in a lifetime. Jesus was passing by, and I want to tell you this, he did not presume, he was humble, he didn't presume, oh well, I'm probably going to get 10 opportunities with Jesus, so I don't need to cry out. He seized the moment. He took the opportunity because he knew this may be his only opportunity. And that is an attitude of a humble person. You don't mess around with God. You take the chance when Jesus is passing by, you grab, I can use the phrase, grab it by the horns. You take your opportunity now. Because Jesus was going to Jerusalem. This was the last time he would ever go through that city. Never going to pass by that way again. This was Bartimaeus' one and only chance. And Jesus was going to the cross. He wasn't going to come back to there. There's a hymn that I used to sing in one of our old churches I used to go to. It goes like this. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others you are calling, do not pass me by. Be like the blind beggar. Have his attitude. What can we learn? Well, just a couple of things practically, possibly about prayer, actually. I think we can learn from this story that we should persistently ask for mercy for ourselves, you know, because we often mess up, don't we? We need the Lord's help. Say, Lord, forgive me, I've messed up. Lord, help me. Help me be a better husband. Help me be a better father. Lord, give me mercy. We need to be like Bartimaeus and cry it louder and louder if necessary. He kept shouting and shouting until he got it. And also, I think we can pray for others to get mercy. We should pray for others to get mercy. We should cry out that others find mercy. We're going to be doing a What If evening soon, which is a kind of outreach evening. And we're going to be doing an Alpha course soon. I just feel those things are great, but we must be crying out for those people, crying out for God to have mercy. Otherwise, we can talk to them till they're blue in the face, and I don't think much will happen. Okay, let's look at Zacchaeus, right? This is the second guy. I believe these two guys belong together, even though they're in a different chapter. Because Zacchaeus is a similar man. Although he's wealthy, although he's totally different to a blind beggar, there are some similarities, you know. And I think he was also given to the disciples as a lesson on how to be humble. Because although he was rich, there was something humble that happened in Zacchaeus' heart. He knew he had to see Jesus. And although he wasn't blind physically, he couldn't see above the crowd, could he? He was a short house, if you excuse the expression. He was a real shorty. He couldn't see above. So in a way, it was like he was blind, too. So he has to climb a tree. Just to say where he worked, the city of Jericho, which is up there, it was a tax haven, like a tax and excise, customs and excise place as a point of entry into Judea. So everybody who went through Jericho coming into the land of Judea would have to pay a tax, as well as the people in the town. And so he could make quite a good living off of people, especially if he frauded them and extorted them and swindled them. So basically, he would have to collect taxes for the Roman occupiers, the Romans who occupied the land. But as part of that job, he could cheat people. So he grew very, very rich. He was a little man, a short man, but had a very big bank balance. The Jews hated him. Ugh. Zacchaeus is the worst. He's a traitor. He plays to the Romans. He swindles us. People absolutely loathed him. But I just wonder what made Zacchaeus, this rich man, suddenly become humble. What made him humble? Well, I don't know, but I've got a feeling there's probably a few reasons. It's just some guesses. I don't know. Maybe he had heard somewhere that Jesus is a friend to sinners. Because you see, the religious people in Jericho hated Zacchaeus. They turned their nose up at him. They snubbed him. Jesus was a friend of sinners, and he needed friends. So maybe that was why he went. Maybe another reason he may have went was because he'd heard of Matthew, the tax collector. Remember him? There's a guy called Matthew, a tax collector. He had become a follower of Jesus. Maybe he'd heard of him, worked in the same business. Or maybe he remembered his godly old mum. Or dad, because you know they named him Zacchaeus. I don't know if you know what Zacchaeus means. Zacchaeus means pure, innocent and upright. That's what it means. That's what his mum named him. Maybe he felt guilty that he hadn't turned quite out quite like his mum had hoped. You know, people name their children names in the hope that they become something that the name represents. Well, this mum or dad had named him Zacchaeus, which means pure, upright, honest man, and he wasn't. So maybe he felt guilty. Or maybe, just maybe, he just felt he lay awake at night with a guilty conscience. In the small hours of the morning, maybe he just thought, well, I got into this and I knew I could cheat a bit, but I didn't mean to go this deep into fraud and cheating, and he just felt guilty. Can I just say, if you ever feel that yourself, just go with it. Never ignore the still small voice of conscience. This happened to me when I was at Exeter University. And I can show you the place where I slept. There we are. That's Marden Hall in Exeter, room number 56 on the top floor. In that room, my biggest memory was the genuine conscience, little voice of conscience, telling me I needed to come to Jesus, I needed forgiveness. That's where I lived. But in that room, I gave my life. I gave my life to Jesus in that room one evening, I remember. But all I want to say to you is, if you get the urge, do what Zacchaeus did. Go to Jesus. Don't try and bury it, but go to Jesus. And Zacchaeus was humble. And I'll tell you why I think he was humble, because he didn't care if he looked an idiot climbing a tree. You know, he probably looked quite foolish climbing a tree. What are you doing up there? But he didn't care, because he was determined to get to Jesus. He was determined to not let anybody get in the way. None of the crowd. I'm going to get through to Jesus. I'm absolutely determined. And God had actually provided him with a sycamore fig tree, which has very low branches for short people to climb. Very easy to climb. But I think there's something in this, that he didn't want to let anyone get in the way. And sometimes when you want to follow Jesus, there can be people that get in the way. And you have to just press through. I just want to quickly tell you that me and Karina used to run an Alpha course in Orpington, and we had a lady on the course, and she was really going after Jesus. She wasn't a Christian yet, but she was seeking Jesus, and she felt a sense of need. And then one day along came a boyfriend. This one didn't want God. Didn't want God, and he took her away. And she stopped coming to church, she stopped coming to the Alpha course, and she's still away now. And it's like the door of opportunity closed, and I just think, what I like about Zacchaeus, he wouldn't let anyone get in the way. I'm going to follow Jesus. And then Jesus, when he saw him up the tree, Jesus was so welcoming, wasn't he? He was really welcoming to humble Zacchaeus. And just quickly tell you this, very quickly, Jesus noticed him. Jesus addressed him by name. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus called him. No one else wanted anything to do with this man. In fact, when Jesus said, I want to come to your house, they all thought, oh, his house. Surely there's a better place that you could have gone to, Jesus. Not that sinner. Jesus accepted him there and then. He didn't tell him to go and repent. He didn't tell him to give the money back. He didn't tell him to get his life right. He just accepted him. The repentance came later. And I think that's quite important. Jesus takes you where you are. The repenting, the other things can change later. He didn't say to Zacchaeus, now you go home, sort your life out, get that right, put that right, give away the money, and then come back to me. I'll take you where you are. Then we'll work on things. That's the heart of the Lord. He doesn't send people away to sort themselves out first. He says, come to me, and we'll deal with that stuff as time goes on. Jesus befriended him. He had a meal at his house. And Jesus preferred him above the crowd. You know, when he went to Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house, the crowd were no longer the friends of Jesus. Jesus lost the friendship of the crowd, because the crowd said, what are you going to see him for? Jesus preferred Zacchaeus as a friend above the crowd. And I think that's wonderful. Now, you might say, why can Jesus be so welcoming to people who come to him humbly? Why can Jesus welcome people like that who are humble? Why? It's because Jesus himself would one day go up a tree. Not that kind of tree. A cross. You know, the cross in the Bible is described as a tree. So Jesus is saying, I can forgive even a big sinner like you, Zacchaeus, up that tree, because one day, come down from your tree, by the way, because one day I'm going to go and hang on a tree for you, a cross. That's why Jesus can forgive anyone who humbles themselves. And when Jesus was there, he said, Zacchaeus, hurry up, come down. Come down immediately. In other words, don't waste any time. And that's a good thing. You know, when Jesus calls you, go for it. Don't waste time, because you can't really decide when you're going to come to Jesus. If God calls you, you've got to come now. You might not get another chance, like on your deathbed or something. Come now. Hurry down the tree, fling open the door. And then what happens at the end? Zacchaeus, he's changed. God changes the humble. He's changed. He's no longer a greedy grasper. He's now a giver. And when you get right with God, you want to get right with other people. He realized, I've cheated Mr. Smith, I've cheated Mrs. Jones, I've robbed that person, I've swindled that person, and he started to give away his money. In fact, he was so generous, he gave away four times what he'd nicked from them. And the reason was that he had been changed by Jesus. He'd found forgiveness. And he didn't do it because Jesus told him to. He did it of his own free will. Just quickly, going back to that story of when I became a Christian in Exeter, when I gave my life to Jesus and he came to me, I realised I had to give something back that I'd stolen. I'd nicked a load of weights from a gym, and I had to go back to my old secondary school. I'd been keeping them for years, and I had to go back with a bag full of weights and give them back to their master or whoever it was. I said, I've nicked all these, I'm really sorry, here they are. And he actually said, don't worry, we didn't want them anyway. But the point was, you kind of practically repent. The humble will be changed. Zacchaeus did not stay the same. He became a giver instead of a grasper. When Zacchaeus has become saved and Jesus says, this man, salvation has come to this man's house, Jesus says these words. He says, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And the truth is this. Yeah, you've got to be humble, you've got to respond, but in the end, the Lord is the one that's come looking for you. I mean, the only reason I'm standing here preaching is because the Lord came looking for me at Exeter University. The only reason Tony's sat there is because the Lord came looking for Tony. The only reason you're sat there is because the Lord is looking for you. He's not already found you. But being humble is a great key, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian for donkey's years, like some of you have, all I want to say this morning is, stay humble. Be humble. Being humble is a key to really going on with the Lord. Seek him. Cry out for mercy. Don't think you can do it in your own strength. You need him every day. Amen.